Welcome to episode 167 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach. And as always, I'm joined by fellow Run to PB coach. And look, honestly, the man responsible for putting all of this glorious content together, Zach and you. And how's things, mate?
Is it going well, Chris? So, yes, great to be back on, mate. I know about the glorious content. I think it's all our Run to PB athletes that keep smashing it out of the park that make it easier for us, because we're always happy to get guests on every week, and we get a chance to, as we have a bit of a cameo from you. Another standard moment when we don't actually do anything with video, but I get the chance to see some funny things on your what's your cat's name, Chriso?
That's George.
George is just harping himself across the camera.
Tonight he is Curious George. Most of the time we prefer it when he's just Gorgeous George, but no, tonight he's Curious George, and he might be Furious George because he doesn't believe he's been fed enough. So maybe. He may chime in with some questions.
Okay. Maybe George needs to have a cameo on the in the socials at some point as our as our mascot. Mate, big episode. Two team Run to PB guests. One that, mate, it's a bit close to home, this one.
It's very close to home. Some may say that they may even reside in the same home that I live in. So tonight's special guest is not George, although give it a few weeks and we might be able to get some of his insights. But no, this is the special lady in my life. It's my wife, Nora. Nora's not new to running by any stretch. She's been running for the best part of the last 12 years. But prior to her running, really didn't do a lot of exercise. High school didn't involve any organized sport. I think there was the odd game of touch rugby. I believe she did make the school athletics team in primary, sorry, the school aerobics team. I'd be right in saying that in primary school, or was that high school?
That was primary school.
Didn't take any qualifications and loved it so much she never did it again. So Norsey's athletic talents didn't sort of stretch into her teenage years, and it probably wasn't until sort of her mid to late 20s where she started to get into a bit of running. And originally I think that probably started out as running around the block, and that was a bit of a stretch, but she slowly developed a bit of a love for parkrun and then got involved with the Shep Runners Club, and then gradually I suppose bit the bullet and had to go at some AV events, dragged her across from Bendigo. And she's gone from bag holder extraordinaire, which she did through my early sporting days, to gradually participating in events. And fair to say, I think running now consumes most of her life, which is great. But Nora Armstrong, welcome to the Better With Running podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be on. Been a long time listener.
Well, yeah, it is great to have you on, and you're often in the background, and I've often seen Chris like waving and telling you to quiet down, because I think you're usually watching
sometimes a bit of antique roadshow.
And then when me and Chris get going and rambling on about world record chat or just some other rabbit hole we've gone down, it's often I sort of might see you dart across and the lights go down and the door gets closed because we're still rubbing it on. But it is great to have you on. I've got a few questions here, but one without notice. Tell us about you and Chris, when you met. How did sparks fly? How long you been married now?
Nearly 20 years.
Chris, you should know the date. Chris,
yeah, no, I do. but I'll let Nora tell the story because I'm interested in her. This is more about her, not about me.
Chris and I went to school, high school together, and Chris dated my friend for a very
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Look, it wasn't super short. It wasn't a blue light disco or anything like that.
Probably not something I look back on fondly, if we're being honest.
And he would come over to our group and catch up with my friend, and and I got to know him merely by him passing by and just saying hi. And when that relationship ended, it wasn't like, it was the end of high school. Chris was finishing up his senior years, and he went into exams and that kind of thing. And he was, one day he came back to school for his last day of school, and I saw him walking across the quadrangle, and I yelled out to him and asked him if he wanted to do the dev with me.
How far did you yell out from?
That was another about 20 metres.
I was just happy to be through the quadrangle.
Yeah,
and
he was high school, like, not a big school, not a lot of kids.
Okay.
He said yes. So, we did the dev together and just got to know each other through that. And, that just developed that relationship. And then we started dating after that. And,
that was back in 2001.
Yeah. So he started working and I finished school, and then we moved out together. And, the rest is history. We,
I got married and you still tolerate me.
Oh, no, that is lovely to hear. And running, it wasn't it, at that time, though, Chris, you were playing cricket, football. You weren't running, like you wouldn't have done pre-season maybe, but you weren't going out doing a lot of running yourself. So how did you – were you the instigator of – running for Nora, or how did that come about? Nora, maybe.
I think living in Finland, there wasn't much to do other than play sport, so it was a bit hard to get Nora integrated because she hated netball, and she did fill in one time. So Nora worked at Bruga Sports Club, and she filled in for the social netball team once. And you're pretty bad at netball when the social team, they really are struggling for numbers and they just don't ask you ever to play again.
Yep. One game and I decided it just wasn't for me.
Catching and running weren't really his strong points.
Cardio wasn't one of my strong points.
No, your hobbies at the time pretty much included working and eating
and sleeping.
So
so then you meet Chris, this sports nut who's just obsessed with cricket, footy, sport.
Just like... introduced me to sport. And long 80 over cricket games.
I was gonna say, did you enjoy some long TV watching of sport that you probably didn't really want to be there at?
They didn't have pay TV or anything. I was probably lucky. You only had the free to air on telly. So, whereas now you've got all your streaming services and stuff, there's always something to watch sport wise. So,
I think your early days of running, you go, all right, come on, let's try and run around the block and see how you go. Yeah. And I wouldn't say you enjoyed that.
No.
Chris, get out the door for runs. Oh, well. Good on you. Not inspired. I don't really want to get out the door myself. And then something there must have been an instigate. There must have been something that got you out there.
Decided to do, once we moved to Numurkah, we bought our first house, and Numurkah has their fun run, their school fun run each year, and entered that and did
no training.
Next to no training. You rocked up on the start line, and goal was to just not stop, and that hurt. And I think I was averaging 8 minute Ks.
That's actually true. So you did manage to run the full distance, but it did take you 80 minutes.
Yes.
and you did finish last, which is okay. But I think probably the two things that stand out to me about that day, well, there's three. One, when you got back and you blamed me for not running the right course when you just had to follow the person in front of you, which you did, but yet you still blame me for it being wrong. Two was
just
when you were out on course and you were up to the last K and there was a small child with their dad who was the marshal, and the child was on their bike and they go to the dad, "Oh, Dad, is that the last one?" And the dad's gone, "Yeah, we can go home now." He's like, "Oh, thank goodness for that." That was probably a negative experience. So Norsey had snitched it by that stage and couldn't wait to finish. Anyway, it was the Catholic school fun run, and the person who was organizing it was the principal, which was also the he was the school principal in Findlay, and he had just moved to Numurkah, so he knew us and recognized Nora. And he's announced to the crowd, "Oh, here comes Nora Armstrong." Nora was so embarrassed. She just ran through the finish line and stormed off, and then pretty much walked straight to the car, didn't you? I was sort of behind trying to say, "Well done, good effort," and didn't want to have a bar of it. So you did well to continue from that. And then you got stuck into parkrun.
Yes, and the parkrun started in Shepparton.
So were you involved in the early days of that?
I didn't realise how new it was. At that point there was only about 30 runners. So there wasn't much depth in the field. So me thinking that I wasn't very good probably wasn't a true reflection of my result at the time. It was just because there wasn't that many people running it.
Any that were there? Like, what was dragging you back?
Chris wanted to.
Oh, I pretty much wanted to go to parkrun, so I dragged Nora along. So you have to come too.
Yeah, we'll just have a go and sign up, and just thought, why not?
Now, your first parkrun was in 32 minutes.
No.
Huh?
It was
30:04. Okay, well. But then it took you another 30 goes at parkrun to actually break 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Look.
You're now down to 20.
As Zaka and Chris now coaches, have a lot of running behind them, and you try to tell things to an athlete of how they should feel and what you should do, and that athlete doesn't listen to you. that was me. And I just go out too hard every week, just thinking, like, surely this is going to get easier, and it didn't.
Yeah, I did hear a rumour that your first 40-odd, you just had this feeling that you just go out for the first K and hammer it, and that day was going to be your day, and you're just going to hold that pace.
And then, once the temperature went up, it just didn't help,
But your last 400's always fast.
That's right, because I have a little rest in the fourth K and then I'm able to get home.
But in fairness...
Yeah, so go, Chris.
I was going to say, in fairness to you, though, from those days where you, you've just run your 350th park run a couple of weeks ago, but you've got your park run time. You've broken 23 minutes. You're down to 22:56 now.
Yeah.
That's super. 350 park. The amount of relationships and people you've come across.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah. And a Saturday morning to go out at 8 o'clock and be there amongst the community and to do 350 of them. For someone who, didn't play any organized sport in high school, wasn't, at all interested by the sound of it in the sport, to be then getting up Saturday mornings to do that, it's such a, and we've heard a lot of these stories, Chris, about, what parkrun's done to keeping people in the sport, and a great soft introduction to now you've competing in AV races. You've gone to Burnley, you've gone to Ballarat, and I mean, even taking a look at your back to that, 10K or those 80 minutes, you've taken 30 minutes off your 10K. It's just like, it's, yeah, it's crazy to think that.
Really no, is. It's been great. Just the people you meet and just each time you challenge yourself, you know, it's hard, but you just get so much out of it. It's, yeah. And, you know, when you guys say you should be racing more, and I understand why now, because it's just such a good experience, good, bad, whatever. You learn something out of it.
Was going to the AV races another step up and maybe?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how was the feeling? I think I saw you at a couple beforehand, and it's come a long way in terms of being more open and inclusive, but still bloody intimidating for all
absolutely.
Of us. Like, me and Christo, I mean, we're the middle. We've got, you know, the Olympians absolutely flying at the front. And yeah, it's a serious comp that you toe the line against.
And I think too, when you go, like when the men's have their races and the women have their races, it's even more competitive. Mm-hmm. But when you have a battle between a couple of women and you get over the finish line and you give a high five or just you give a glance back to them and go, yeah, well done.
Yeah.
You know, you kicked my ass. Like, you're amazing. Yeah, you know.
But it's those races on the weekend that when you've got to get out the door through the week, it just gives you the fire to keep going. And it's like, well, hang on, everyone else that I'm competing against, seeing on the weekends, they're all out there in the cold and the wet and early mornings and running. And I think, yeah, like putting yourself, well, outside of the comfort zone of these AV, like, you know, for someone who's, you know, done 350 park runs, done a lot of fun runs, and then to then go to this to the AV, it's really cool, like the different levels you're exposing yourself to.
Yeah. No, just I think running is such a broad sport. Just the different level that you can compete in and the people you can meet and then just go from there. I suppose too, running has really exploded the last couple of years, so that's helped as well.
What about some of your future goals? Like, you've ticked off a few PBs this year. You broke your half PB and went sub 23 for 5K. But what future goals have you got for yourself?
Maybe a marathon in there.
Good to know.
It's good to know.
Chris has just gone white here.
They're like, hang on. I thought you're only joking about that, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, get the half, slowly chipping away at that to get that down a little bit more. That would be, yeah. And also the 10K, it's still, I've got close, but I haven't, yeah, got it down a little bit more either. So there's always something to aim for.
Have you immersed yourself in the sport, like following it now? And like, do you?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So how do you consume it? Like, how are you?
You follow all like social media and different athletes.
Who are you watching on YouTube at the moment? You want to go through the list?
Yeah, there's like trail runners and marathon runners and then you jump in on a stream and watch so Valencia or Chicago.
At the moment, Norsey's on a bulk upload watch of Philly Bowden, Ali Ostrander,
yeah,
Stephen Scullion, and pretty much any time Jess Hull draws breath, that Norsey will know about it. So
yeah.
You love your YouTube, sitting there and watching your videos over dinner. Yeah, or it's cool. Not uncommon to find. So I might watch a bit of TV or play a bit of PlayStation in the evenings. Nora will come over to the computer and she'll sit here for an hour and 90 minutes and just watch YouTube videos on running. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Zach and White, have you have some quick questions for you as well?
Oh, really?
Changing it up. We are changing it up. I've been handed the keys to do the quick fire. And I think you're right across this format. So let's kick it off with Garmin or Clorox.
I've got a Garmin.
It's that worn.
It's
the
worn. Lab- the label's worn off the back of it.
Okay.
I think it's a 630, a Forerunner, Garmin Forerunner 630. So it's got a few years on it. It's got a borrowed wristband on it from Amanda. Shout out to Amanda, a legend. yeah. Maybe a new one on the Christmas list, Coach.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, when you're running with your Garmin, what do you have on the screen?
Distance, splits, heart rate, yeah, everything. I have the four.
Okay. And are you looking at it like in a 30-minute run, how many times would you look at your
Garmin? Long run, not very much at all. Yeah, if I'm we just did a handicap without a watch, and it was interesting how much you actually did look at your wrist, or even just starting the race and you're just ready to push start on the watch and you're like, I don't need to do that. Like, it's such a habit. Slowly getting better, dialing into pace, I think.
How often would you look at your watch on an easy run?
Five times, maybe.
So every K. Would it be? So five times. That's like 6 minute K, is that 30 minute run? So that'd be one.
A long run.
Like an easy run.
Yeah.
When it beeps. Every time it beeps.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, okay. Cool.
Coach Chris is just writing a few notes down as we
Yeah.
Hey, next one. Easy one. I don't think you get in trouble with this one. iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Yeah, definitely escape that one. Any race, okay. Here's an interesting one. Any race in the world you could do, which one would be? And you've been down a few YouTube rabbit holes, so you've probably seen some pretty cool races on one.
Berlin.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm. Watch this space, Chris.
Yeah, America, like
there's a lot of places in America.
It's a lot. Chicago, New York.
Ages, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. If you start to head towards a marathon. Ones,
yeah.
I need to tick off, Chris.
First marathon, might as well do a major. Why not?
Yeah.
Don't worry about running a qualifier. We'll just be at a charity entry.
Here's one. I know you're popular down in Shep, but running alone or with a friend dash group, what's your preference? Oh,
definitely friend slash group. Running and having a chat and just makes it go so much quicker.
How many runs would you run solo in your week?
One, maybe two.
And is that a challenge to get out the door, or are you okay? You get a bit of time to yourself.
Because one of the runs is only like short, so it's just.
And your second one might do a session by herself on a Saturday.
Yeah, or mate, I've been doing my long run by myself just recently. Mm. I know I'm going to see people out there, so you look forward to that. Mm. I don't know. It's a good and time.
Is it a de-stressor for you? Like, or is it training, or you're kind of.
Nah, it's good to be just in your head and just. Mm. Just take in the scenery and just have a good think about things and yeah.
Okay, I know Chris O's rubbed off on you here. Favorite running sock.
Oh. Okay. Currently I'm wearing a 2x U, just a little ankle sock. But
what's your favorite color running sock, Norsey?
Black.
Mm. And how many pairs of black socks do you reckon you've got, Norsey?
Five, that I like wear all the time, and then to the gym I'll wear colored socks.
Whose colored socks do you wear to the gym, Norsey? Yeah,
but you don't wear the colored socks on the run.
Oh no, Norsey's run kit basically consists of black tights, black socks. She's got a pair of black shoes.
Yeah.
I've got black socks.
She's got a black running company top. Yeah, just a lot of black, whereas I'm the anti-Norsey and I've got all the colours of the rainbow, and she will borrow my socks for the gym, but that when she runs, it's mostly black socks, isn't it?
Yep, it definitely black socks.
Yeah, I'm almost embarrassed.
I get to wear like bright shoes with the boys usually.
Oh, have you seen? No, no, boys, if you go to Rebel Sport, you only get two choices of kit, but you know what Nike produce. We're pretty spoiled.
That's right. We can...
Following on, how about the shoes? Are you a shoe geek these days? Easy days and race shoes we're looking at.
So I am a Brooks wearer. I've worn Glycerins and Ghosts my whole running time. And then I've recently just purchased a pair of Saucony Speeds. Which
I remember there was some rumors about you getting into some super shoes or changing up.
Yes. So after Ballarat this year, we went to the running company and I tried on a couple of pairs and ran on the treadmill and ran outside and landed with the Saucony. So they've been great.
Have you raced in them yet? Have you raced a half in?
Yes, I've raced a five in them and
done two park runs in them.
And a couple of sessions.
Do you think you'll get a pair of carbon plated shoes rather than just nylon plate?
I don't.
Well, if you're going to commit to a marathon, I reckon you can commit to some...
Put it on the Christmas list with the Garmin. Yeah.
Paper flies is coming right up.
Okay, we've one last one. Because you've been a good sport, you got the question without notice at the top of the show. But this one, if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
It would be like smashed avocado, poached eggs, toast.
Just no other sides, just those two.
Bit of tomato.
The rest of your life. You can go all out. No budget here. Just go all out.
So a nice bit of ciabatta bread, some butter on there, avocado, some like dukkha maybe. Nice poached egg. Beautiful. Yeah.
So, mate, that was the last avocado time I took you out for breakfast.
No, avocado can get in the bin. don't rate it. But the eggs, absolutely poached eggs, ciabatta bread, bacon, some baked beans. You like baked beans,
Yeah.
Bit of spinach.
You're going to get right out, okay? Yeah,
you're going to do a long run.
You're all set. Hey, before we let you go, because we're going to jump into Chris's update, but should we just jump into the handicap that went down over the weekend? Because you were at the Shepherd's Runners Club handicap, and it was, this is put on here, you might want to explain it a bit more. It just said naked handicap Sunday. So
essentially we all everyone put in a time that they would like to run, and then we all stripped our clothes off, and then no we didn't do that. I think what we did, I just asked people to nominate a time that they were going to run for 6 kilometers, but the only catch was they had to do it blind, so no watch, no phone, nothing that recorded any data, because I really wanted them to go back and experience a bit of running to feel, and also give them a different challenge. And it was actually really interesting. It was the least stressful handicap and the best vibe that we've had. Yeah. That I can remember, and I've been coaching the Runners Club for nearly 7 years now, and everyone was just so chilled. Like, they still wanted to do well, but there was almost no stress. And to see the joy, there were two distinct different groups. There were people that went pretty hard, and then just a group that went pretty easy. The ones that went hard and came back and beat their time, they were over the moon. They couldn't believe it. Because I thought I'd really struggle, but I just ran, if it got hard, I slowed down a little bit, and I didn't have my watch telling me if I was getting slower or faster, and they were just completely blown away. Because for the most part, nearly everyone beat the times that they'd given themselves. And I think they just learned to listen to their bodies a bit more. It was really cool. We had about 25 people, I think, run on the morning. And credit to Norsey, you got within 10 seconds of the time. So, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. How did it play out? Like, just going without having any info with you?
Yes. That pace that I set, I know pretty well. So, yeah, that was not too bad. But it was just nice not having the pace.
Like halfway through, you thought, yeah, I'm actually on track.
Yeah. Should be not too bad. I thought maybe I was going a bit quick, but yeah. And like, because you didn't know what the people around you were going to run either. So you couldn't really base your pace off them either. So yeah, you really just had to go out, run your own race and run it to feel.
And I think people enjoyed it that much that they've requested to do it next month, but with a couple of twists. So we put up all the times that people had nominated, whereas this time they don't want to know what other people have guessed. So they can't rely on other people just in case they are running a certain speed. So, and they basically want to go and lie to one another and tell them what time they're aiming for. So, it's a shifty lot, but, yeah, we thought we'd make it a bit harder as well. Instead of 6K, we might make it 4 mile. So yeah. For people like Phil Podbury, who are used to, miles and pounds and shillings and all that sort of stuff, or yards, feet and inches, they might have a bit of an advantage. But, we'll see how that plays out next month.
Sounded like a great event. And well done to you, Nora. Thanks for jumping on. It's obviously a challenge to have Chris next to you when you're under the spotlight. But we think it's we hear a lot about you obviously throughout the episodes, but it's kind of really cool to hear your running journey and what you've achieved. And yeah, I mean, when we reel off those stats of where you've come from to now, and yeah, it's quite mind-blowing, really. And there's some pretty cool things ahead as you start to look towards potentially a marathon. And it sounds like some super shoes as well.
Yeah, definitely some super shoes.
Thanks, Zaka.
Thank you. We'll catch you soon. Okay. March 2022, we had our sign-up come through. It was Nathan Conton. He had listed some of his running experience as doing the Couch app to get to 10K. I think that's the old Couch to 5K program, but I think he went to the 10K. And he listed in this sign up that he wanted to take a little bit more serious. He completed a few of the challenges in the app, but he also had some goals to sort of move up towards the half marathon and potentially take on a marathon in the future. He'd only been running since 2021, so very green and very eager to take his running to a new level. Fast forward to 3 weeks ago, Nathan went around in the Melbourne Marathon in his second marathon, taking off 20 minutes running off his PB, running 3:34 and 52 seconds. Capping off a massive year of PBs across a number of distances in 2023. And we've got him on the show to chat more about it. Welcome to the show, Nathan.
Thanks, Zaka, and thanks, Chris. I was saying before, I listen to the pod each week, so it's quite surreal to think I'm on talking to you guys and having other people listen to our conversation this week.
Glad to have you on.
this is a big thrill because you've got one hell of a story to tell. People can see your name pop up on the socials and see that, there was a nice shiny PB bell next to your time there for the marathon. But I'm really looking forward to listening to you add a bit of context to it tonight, because what I think you've achieved over the last couple of years is nothing short of remarkable, mate.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Mate, should we go there? And I think I want to elaborate a little bit more about your sign-up form, basically, because
yep,
butchered it a bit in the intro, but you did mention that you'd started running using a couch to 10K app, got to the 10K, wanted to take it more serious. Never been a runner or play sport for 10 years. You completed 2x10K and your longest run was 13K when you started then. Had no experience with coaching and entirely self-trained so far. So, you know, this isn't uncommon for us to get this, Chriso. But then you were openly and quite honestly shared something as well. And it said that you had been diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma in 2018 and you were in remission for, at the time, three years and nine months.
3 years, yep.
And, yeah, it was no ongoing effects through the time of chemotherapy treatment and impacted, at the time the chemotherapy treatment impacted your lung capacity, which made it difficult to do long-form aerobic exercise. Also stated you were working full-time. And, yeah, like when we saw that and we matched you with Jack Davies and, you know, you guys jumped on a call, but there's a lot to unpack there. And I know you're very, very kindly open about it. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about what you were diagnosed with and where you are now?
Yeah, so it was February 2018. It's all a bit of a blur, so I just want to make sure I get the years right. But I just woke up with a pain in my neck one morning and just noticed a lump on my neck about the size of a golf ball. Had no illness or no, you know, didn't have any other symptoms or anything like that. Went to the GP after about 2 weeks because I thought it wasn't getting any better. And it over a 6 to 8 week period, it went from GP to hematologist to scan. And the prognosis was looking good initially. And the GP was like, it's just an infection. It's nothing to worry about. And then as you get further and further down that line of medical appointment to scan, to specialist appointment, it just becomes worse and gets, you know, more and more likely that it's going to be something pretty nasty, which it turned out to be. So by the 8 weeks I was diagnosed, it had spread to the other side of my neck, under my arms, in my chest. Luckily, Hodgkin's lymphoma is a very treatable cancer to get, and it's quite common in young people, even though it's a rare cancer in and of itself. So I was able to go straight into chemotherapy for 12 weeks, which by the end of that, I was able to get into remission, which obviously super thankful for. Definitely, you know, you said I'm unpacking before. It's something I still unpack every day, nearly 6 years on. Like, I don't think it's something that will ever leave me. And it's always just something that's there and that you need to navigate through for the rest of your life. I think taking up to jump 3 years down the track, it's probably the period after going through something like that doesn't get talked about as much as what the actual treatment does. I probably found that it's really tricky because you're obviously so thankful that you've been able to get through the treatment and you're in remission, but you also need to kind of deal with all the stuff that comes after, trying to get back into work, and you don't really look and feel like a normal person for 6 weeks because you still have no hair and you look really bloated and stuff like that from all the treatments. So it probably took, you know, a good 12 to 18 months to get back to a place where I was feeling like myself, and then the COVID pandemic hit pretty much at that point. So March 2020 was, yeah, that was when the pandemic started. And when I say by the middle of 2021, I was starting at the couch, that's a very literal sense of the word. I'd done basically no exercise or no real activity for, you know, 10 years almost. I never saw myself as a runner and probably always told myself that my body wasn't built for running. I didn't have the fitness to run. I think the longest run I'd ever done in my life was probably a 3 kilometer run in year 9 cross country at school or something like that. But on a whim, I decided to sign up for the Run Melbourne 10K in 2021 to raise money for Peter Mac, because that's where I had my treatment. Mm-hmm. gave myself about 10 weeks to train, thinking I'd just be able to do the couch to 10K app, and started just doing walk runs around the block just to try and at that time I thought there is no possible way I'd be able to run 10Ks without stopping. And eventually, you know, as we all know now, the more you train and the more you expose yourself to those situations, you just get fitter and faster. And that Run Melbourne was actually cancelled because of COVID, but I was in Palm Cove at the time and did a virtual 10K in the humidity. And I think I just broke 70 minutes and ran 6.5 minute kilometers for that 10K. But my training was all over the place. It was missing whole weeks at a time. And it wasn't until I did my first in-person 10K at Sandy Point later that year that I really got the bug and decided to take training a bit more seriously. Just myself at that stage, just trying to read and listen to podcasts and that kind of thing. But I realized in Feb 2022, after a massive blow up at one of the Sunset Series races at the TAN, I realized I need a bit more structure and a bit more expertise if I was going to take it more seriously. And it's probably that and joining Malvern Harriers are the two best running decisions I've ever made for my running. It's made a world of difference. So it's been a great balance to have in my life with everything over the last 6 or so years. So I just love it and talk to running now about everyone, and it's just become a big part of my life. So it's been great.
Nathan, what for yourself, and you mentioned before that sort of it was a good sort of 12 months where coming off, I guess, being in remission, where it took you to start to feel, you know, like yourself again. But just building on that, since you've been running regularly, how has that affected your confidence and self-esteem, I guess, as you've gotten fitter and stronger?
It's definitely helped being able to go from something you have no expertise at all. And I still don't have any expertise in it, but whether it's running or learning a language or some new skill, being able to go from zero to some level of ability in that thing is just huge for anyone's self-esteem and confidence. Being able to, you know, meet new people and join running groups and that kind of thing has been great as well. Like that's the best part about it. It's, you know, if you just had to train by yourself and race by yourself all year round, it'd be a pretty awful game. But being able to get around the group and speak to people who have different goals and that kind of thing is what makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, joining the Malvern Harriers, obviously a massive, seeing you out on the AV circuit, like you've been able to immerse yourself in Melbourne's running community and landscape. And do you want to talk to us about the Malvern Harriers and the impact they've had on your running?
Yeah, so I joined halfway through 2022. So I'd gone through doing a few fun runs and park runs. I'd been doing coaching for a few months, and I was looking for something at a bit higher level than just fun runs and park runs. I still enjoyed them, but I was probably missing a little bit of competitiveness and the idea of being able to challenge myself in an environment that I was a bit outside of my league, to be honest, and still am. Like I'm running in the bottom 20% of the field. Like I'm way closer to last than halfway, but I don't really, you know, mind at all. It's great being part of the environment. Just being part of the Malvern Harriers group has been awesome. Not just the people, but just having access to all different types of trainers as well, whether you've got short distance runners, other marathoners to talk to, all the coaches and experienced people around the group who see you week to week, has been a great help. And that AV scene is just the best lead up to a marathon. Like I just love the cross country, and being able to test yourself over some of those courses is just a great way to build some strength. I know I definitely need more of it. So looking forward to doing it next year as well.
Have you got a favorite course?
That's a good question. I ran my best cross country race at Cruden Farm. So I think that's my favorite course. Yep. least I got stitched up with the long leg at the Ekiden Relay this year, and that was by far the worst course of the season.
What about the hardest one?
The Ekiden one, definitely. That last turnaround and coming straight up that grass hill right out the back was just brutal. So that's, yeah, definitely the hardest.
Quite phenomenal. You're sort of sitting here talking about courses that, you know, you love and like where you, you know, for someone who best to really not running, doing much exercise at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking about, yeah, just, you know, including Barn, you know, 12.
Yeah.
The cross country being Barn.
I was looking back at it all today just to jog my memory for some of the old races I did, and just looking back at some of the training and doing, you know, 7.5 minute kilometers. It wasn't even a session. It was probably a 20 minute jog with some walking in the middle. Like, it's, you don't really realize it at the time, but you look back over a couple of years as a larger piece of work, and it's just amazing to see how much you can improve just by being as consistent as possible while trying to balance everything else that's going on within people's lives as well.
And even your mileage, like leading up to Melbourne, and we'll get to Melbourne. I mean, there's a lot of races that you had this year that went, you know, smacked down the park, but Melbourne was just the cherry on top, I guess. But you were up around the 70, nearly 80K weeks,
as well. Yeah, I was trying. I wanted to run 2,500 Ks this year. That was one of the goals I set at the start of the year, and knew I was needing to peak for Melbourne. So I can get a little bit niggly sometimes just because I haven't done a lot of strength work and don't have a big base outside of the last 18 months. So I want to try and keep that 18 kilometer a week mileage for a little bit longer if I can. I definitely need to get some strength work in over the summer as well, because I just don't think my body handles week after week after week.
So that's all right, mate. I don't think anyone's body handles that constant pounding for too long. We've all got to factor in recovery. And I know Zaka loves his time in the gym at the moment as well. So, and I'm a big advocate. Some
tips.
Yeah, yeah, no, mate. Maybe a collab. Maybe pop down.
Zaka, and sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
But like, to think, mate, going back to February 2022, and your furthest run was 13 kilometers, and here we are, admittedly, you know, the best part of 20 months later, but you've attacked a marathon and you've raced a marathon, like not just participated, you've raced this thing. And all along the way, there's been PBs in 5, 10, you've run half marathons, you've joined an AV club. Like, this is the sort of stuff where, you know, these are the things that people were, it's taken them 5, 10 years to really sort of build up and do. Like, the progress that you've shown is absolutely phenomenal. And look, I'm sure Jack's played a large part in that, in keeping you safe and healthy and motivated as well. But what does the future look like for you? Like, I know you've mentioned a bit of strength work, want to try and maintain a bit of mileage, but where do you see yourself going over the next couple of years?
I'd love to just see what my maximum potential is in the marathon. I love marathons and I love everything about them. I think at the moment I'm set on a long-term goal of sub-3, and then see where we go from there. I'm kind of fascinated by this idea of what is the maximum you can push yourself to do something. Like, if you get sub-3 in 2 years' time, then what happens after that? And I want to find out where that limit is. Like, I know I'm probably not going to be a 2:20 or 2:30 marathoner, but if I can stay disciplined and consistent and do some of those extra things, where can I get to? Is the approach I'm looking at in the long term.
No, I like that. I know Eliud Kipchoge says there are no limits, so. True. We don't need to put a cap on it, but look, to see where you've gotten to, thus far is remarkable. So, yeah, mate, I can't wait. Mate, even just the next 6 months, I can't wait to see what you do, let alone the next couple of years.
Yeah, I'm also, I am lucky I don't have kids or anything like that. So it has made the rapid mileage increases much easier than some of the stories I hear from people with kids getting up at 5 a.m. to get training in. That's something that is beyond the realm of my mental capacity and strength, I think. So hats off to those people.
Hey, just winding it back to the lead up into Melbourne. So you had Lakeside 10K, you rolled a 44-minute 10K run, PB there. You had a PB park run, or is it park run?
That was park run 5K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack had you on the time trial, a 3K time trial, 12:04 PB there.
That would have been a training time trial, not a specific race.
And then Burnley Heart, tore that one up, 137 for another PB. So the form line was just absolutely on. And as we know in the marathon, yes, you can do all the work and you can be in great shape, but just some days it just doesn't go your way. And for you, how was it early on? How were you feeling? And then looking at your splits, there was a little bit of trouble later in the race. But
it sure was.
Got through. Take us there as it unfolded.
In hindsight, I probably went in a bit too confident. That half marathon was probably my race of the season and probably the only race I'd call an A race for this season. So I thought I'd just be able to run in a similar manner with a similar strategy. And I was aiming for 3:30. So I was feeling good going in. It got to about 16K and I started getting this pain in my hip that I hadn't had throughout the whole marathon block. And I'm like, what on earth is going on here? Like, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, the plan was perfect up to that point. I was just right behind the 3:30 pacing group. I don't know, sometimes with super shoes going at marathon pace or faster, I go through these patches where I completely lose the mechanics of my form and just feel like I really need to concentrate on hitting the ground in the right place. So I went through a really flat patch for about 3K and then got back. I didn't really lose pace throughout that time, but just felt really average in my form and the way I was running. Felt pretty good up to about 32K, and three strides later I was on the side of the road thinking I was about to be sick. So it very much happened within a click of the fingers. I think I took that last gel at about 31K and that just tipped me over the edge, and that was it after that. That was on St Kilda Road, about a quarter of the way down before the tan section.
So
just took a minute just to let the nausea pass and get my heart rate down a bit, and just tried to jog and walk the rest out as best I could. Started to get some
stress levels at that point.
Your
day was over. Like,
I wasn't going to DNF or anything like that. I was off that 3:30 pace, so that dented my motivation a little bit. But after a couple of minutes, I realized like the 3:40 group's still miles up the road. I've still got a pretty good chance of getting a decent time and PB if I just keep going, even if it was at 5:20 or 5:30 pace, just to jog it in essentially. Got some supplies from some team members on the side of the road, some Gatorades that I'd never done any training with or anything like that, but my body was just taking whatever, screaming for something. Yeah. So I took lollies and Gatorade and all of that kind of stuff, and just once I got through that tan section, I was able to jog the rest the way down St Kilda Road into the MCG, and I was pretty happy all things considered with my time. I would have loved to get that 3:30, but considering where I was at 32Ks, to have a 3:34 next to my name with a little bit, I feel like a good marathon, that you feel like you've got something left and something to work towards for next year or whenever your next marathon is. So really happy with the block, happy with the day, and looking forward to doing my next one.
Nathan, was the marathon everything that you thought it would be from an emotional and a physical standpoint, or did it surprise you?
The first marathon, I'd say, was more emotional, just with the whole 18 months of getting into the sport. And my initial goal was to do a marathon by the time I was 30, which is in 1 month's time, but I was feeling pretty reasonable halfway through 2022, so I thought I'd give the 2022 one a crack. But that was more just getting one done and getting a marathon time next to my name. This marathon, I more felt like I had a job to do and had pace splits to hit, so it wasn't as emotional. I think by the end of it, I was just glad to get it done and take everything I could from it and learn for the next block. But physically, I was in a lot worse shape this year compared to last year. I was absolutely done and dusted by the end of it.
You ever, like, now in the downtime at the back of the marathon and obviously talking through this, looking back at your progression, do you ever just sit there and reflect on, like, how far you've come?
Yeah, for sure. I do. This Strava now has those memories or something similar that pops up in the feed from time to time, and it's always good having a look at those training runs I was doing 2 years ago. It's just wild. Like, my family members just laugh. Like, I was the most anti-running person you could ever find 3 years ago. Like, I hated the idea of getting faster than a walk. Like, it's just goes to show, if you try something and end up liking it, you can, you know, devote a lot of time and attention to it and just work on getting better.
Now you listen to running podcasts, even peanuts like me and Chris are talking every week about running. Like, you've just, crazy. Yeah, and we'll get to a bit of that, I reckon, in the quick five, because we could probably quiz you. I reckon you've become a bit of a fan of the sport as a large. So I reckon we'll be able to uncover a bit of that in the quick fires, Chris.
Oh, absolutely. No, we've got some stuff loaded up there. What are probably, like, over the last couple of years working with Jack, what are probably the key things that you've learned? I mean, obviously consistency is a big one, but some other ones that you want to share?
I think don't sweat if a session goes bad or a race goes bad. I think a lot of runners get pretty down in the dumps when they have a shitty day, but Jack's really good at just staying level-headed and you know, his messages are always positive regardless of how I go, and that definitely helps keep an even mind going into the next training week. But also not getting too ahead of myself. Even last week, I'm like, I want to get back up to 80 Ks a week as soon as possible. And I feel garbage. Like, there's no need or reason for me to be running 80 K weeks. So Jack's like, you know, we'll get there, but let's just recover from the marathon and take it at a more gradual pace than just trying to bang out another 80 K week next week.
Mate, when you're 30, you got plenty of years ahead of you to take your time. There's a lot of races, a lot of training runs ahead. Chris, should we do it?
Let's do it. I reckon Nathan's keen for this too. Yeah, being a long time listener. He knows what's coming, Zachary.
I reckon you need to switch it up on the fly.
I have a couple of things up my sleeve, which we'll see how we go. But Nath, we'll start with the easy ones, mate. You know, the first one that we're going to ask about your watch. What sort of watch are you going with at the moment?
Garmin all the way. And to show how little I knew about running initially, I started running with a Fitbit.
I don't see too many of on the
circuit.
Yeah, that would have caused a few issues with the final surge. Oh, actually, I think it does connect the final surge. I think it's mainly Apple Watch that has issues.
But yeah, Garmin all the way from now.
You see, Zach, final surge has just had an update where Apple can now attach to it. And
shout out to Steve Friend.
Well, yeah, it's been a long time coming. So all those Apple users that have thrown their
Ryan Cook, he was
Ryan was very excited, and I did say to him, if he was super keen to use it, he can go and fish it out of the lake here at Shepparton. maybe we can get it going again. But I like to hear that's a good sensible watch, and that you beat me to my follow up question because I was interested in how that's progressed over the last couple of years. So, no, good stuff. The phone, mate, iPhone, Android, Nokia, what are we going with?
iPhone can't go without an iPhone. So that, well, to answer your last question, I probably started running with my phone in my hand even before the Fitbit came into things. So definitely iPhone 13, I think, at the moment.
Good choice. Do you enjoy technology?
I wouldn't say I'm a technology nerd in particular. I'd get what I think will help me either run faster or run better, and that's about my limit.
That's all right. You mentioned in passing before that learning some different languages, is that right?
Not exactly. I was just kind of, if it was up to me, I'd tell everyone to get into running as something to go from zero to adequate in, but it was more, it could be running or learning a language or cooking or any skill, really. Going from zero into learning something new is always worthwhile.
I was hoping you might teach us some Mandarin or something like that, but that's okay.
Unfortunately.
No, all good. Well, we'll go back to the marathon training. Gels. Do you have a favorite gel? Did that change over the course of the marathon training, or was it sort of you just grabbed a handful of Morton out on course and went for it?
No, I was on the V-Fuels. I've got a bit of a funny gut with gels, and the V-Fuels seemed to go pretty well until the last one on marathon day. So I've still got a whole box of them, so I'll need to get through them before trying another. But I think they have some type of sugar that the other gels don't, and they sit a little bit better in my stomach. So yeah, I've tried a few different ones, and they seem to work the best for me at the moment.
Do they have a particular
salts on the V-Fuel last week? Someone else was on the V-Fuel.
Yeah.
They either don't have fructose or don't have glucose. I can't remember which one is which.
So do they have a particular flavor, mate?
They've got a few. Chocolate brownie is surprisingly good, even though it doesn't sound like a good gel flavor.
That's something I'm craving at 30K into a marathon.
Oh, no, take that one early in the marathon. Then you've got raspberry lemonade and cool citrus and the sweeter flavors towards the back end. But I think it was a salted caramel apple that put me onto the side of St. Kilda Road. So I'll probably stay away from that flavor for the next few months.
Won't be your choice for life.
Yeah, that's it.
I like that. Now, just coming off the marathon, obviously with some future marathon goals, mate, is any race in the world that you could go and do, is there one in particular that you'd choose?
I think it has to be Boston Marathon, not just for the race itself, but also the qualifier and needing to put so much work into even getting into the race. I think, I know you can, you know, buy your way through travel packages and things like that, but for some reason it's just struck a chord with me that I want to run that race one day, and I want to get that Boston qualifier to get in. And it's, I think I read that it's got even faster for next year, and sub three no longer does it anymore, so we'll see how that goes over the next few years.
I like that. Yeah, I think like
driven young man with just going for the marathon that's got a qualifier.
I like that. And like the marathon majors have been a popular answer with this question. So no, it's good to hear. Boston's a terrific event with an absolute boatload of history. So hopefully we'll see you out there on Patriots Day one day.
I hope so too. Yeah, that would be good.
Running alone or with the group? I think that's pretty, it's got to be with a group, doesn't it? With the Marvin Harriers?
Yeah, definitely. Running solo is good up to a point, but I think at some stage you need to get into a group environment, particularly even if it's just one person on some of those long runs leading into the marathon, it makes a world of difference. So definitely running in a group.
With the runs that you do with the Harriers, do you do sessions with them or just easy runs, or how does that actually work?
We have sessions on Tuesday and Thursday night, so I'll do the Tuesday session. Usually I'll do my longer marathon session on a Friday, so I'll just do that myself. But Tuesday is usually my faster, shorter session of the week, which is good.
And on Tuesdays, are you doing the session that Jack gives you, or whatever the club sort of seem to be doing?
Well, yeah, so he keeps that open and we just do what the club's doing. So I'll do that the majority of the time. There might be some weeks, like the week or 2 weeks before the marathon, where I might do something a little bit different, just if there's something really short and quick going on at the club. But I like jumping in most weeks and doing what they're doing. But most of the time, it's a long distance focused club anyway. So it's not like we're doing short sprints on a track or anything like that. It's usually 1K reps or 1500s or something like that, which ties in well with the rest of my marathon training.
Good. So have you got a favorite session that you do?
I haven't done the really meaty marathon workouts, 25 to 30 Ks just yet, but I do like the long marathon workouts, like a 3x5K or something like that on a Friday. I like those tempo long workouts where you just turn the mind off and tick over those reps.
Good stuff.
I stumbled across a workout around Albert Park, like a 4x3K at narrow pace.
Yeah, I live pretty much next door to Albert Park, so I hate to think how many laps of Albert Park Lake I've done over the last 18 months.
I was going to say, I'm just through your Strava, there's a lot of Albert Park and there's a bit of tan.
Yep.
Tan, Albert Park, what's your preference?
That's a hard one. Albert Park out of convenience.
Which way are you running around the tan?
I have to go the hill way. That's the only way you can. And it's the only hills I get in. I know on Inside Running last week, they were talking about soft city runners who don't run a lot of hills. And I just thought that's exactly what I am. And that's what happens in the last 8K of a marathon when you haven't trained any. So I'll be trying to find, I don't know, St. Kilda's not a very hilly suburb, but I'll try and find something to work with. Just use Anderson Street, maybe.
Best hill in Melbourne. Anderson Street Hill. It shocks me that people run the other way.
Yeah.
Hey, favorite running sock. What socks are we flying with, mate? Any particular favorites?
I think the Features socks, the dark blue Features. Mm. They're pretty good.
It's almost like a Bendigo Bats blue.
Pretty close, yeah.
I think they're one of Andy's favorites. Well, they are Andy's favorites because he does have a deal with them. But those particular blue ones that you're talking about, so the blue with a sort of white bit, like a two-tone blue.
That's it. Yeah, I'll need to find a lighter blue to go with the Malvern kit for next season.
Yeah, nice.
It's a good sock, the Features one. Do you like? It's a bit thicker than a Steigen, but it's not too thick.
Yeah. I was using the Steigens for probably the first 12 months, but they're great. I still love them as well, but the Features just edge them, I think. With a pair of white shoes, they look pretty good as well. I know you're into your kits, Chris, so it's a good look.
I'll have to have a chat to Andy and see if we can hook Nathan up with some Features socks.
That'd be nice.
Or maybe we can use code Nathan for 10% off.
I like the sound of that.
With your running surfaces, track, road or trails, what's your favourite?
I'd say road. Track, I don't enjoy too much. I'm a bit of a bigger guy, so don't really get around the track too nimbly. I'd like the trails. I just don't get out there often enough. So I'd say road.
Track, even though, I was going to say, that traily surface around Albert Park or even around the tan, like do you notice a bit of a difference in that, just being a touch softer than the road?
Yeah, I do like running on that when I'm a bit niggly and sore. So it's good for those sort of runs. If I'm going to try and run fast, but there's nothing better than the road.
And just back to the track, Malvern and Harry's, do they have a 10K track?
They don't have a track, but we use the Waverley grass track. Oh, for our 10K club race.
Yeah, and your 10K club race, did you do it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that was in summer. Could have been the start of this year. Can't remember if it was February or March. But that was 25 laps.
And did you do, was there a bit of a bit of a counting issue with you in that race?
I reckon there was, because
I feel like you got sent an extra lap, or
my Garmin's pretty good on the track, and I was just about to stop and then they called me through for the last lap, and I was so out of breath that I couldn't really argue the matter. Yeah. So I just did another lap. So it probably looks closer to 10.4.
I think Jack sent something through and he said, I'm pretty sure my athlete got sent an extra lap.
Yeah. Because it would have been close to my PB at the time.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'll be looking to just do the 10Ks.
Yeah, yeah. No,
this season.
We've got a 10.4K PB now.
Yeah.
What about your shoes? You've got a favorite set for easy days and for race days?
Just got a brand new pair of On Cloud Monsters out of the box today, actually. Yeah. So they're my favorite shoe overall. Probably use more for easy days than hard. The Saucony Endorphin Speed, I think, for faster days is another pair I really enjoy.
Did you use the Speeds for cross country this year?
I did use them for some races. I had a pair of Vasics, one of the Nimbus Asics pairs of shoes that I used for most of the cross country. But yeah, that's just whatever was in the cupboard. I didn't really put too much thought into the cross country shoes this year.
Yep. And your marathon shoe, was that the Saucony Speed as well?
That was the Saucony Elite shoe with the carbon plate.
Yep.
But I don't think I'm quite right for carbon plate shoes. I get that weird sense that I'm losing my form just with carbon plate shoes for some reason. So I need to do a bit more training to work out exactly why that's going on.
Sound like a bit of a shoe geek with these couple of names you rolled.
Oh, just more a rabbit hole than a geek, I think.
How many pairs of shoes have you got at the moment in the rotation?
I've got three or four in the rotation at the moment. So nothing crazy. And there's a pair I don't really like too much that I won't name. So I only have three.
What are they?
We don't have.
They're a pair of Salomon Aeroglides. They're Salomon's road shoe. And for some reason, they just rub in the wrong spot on the base of my foot and just give me horrendous blisters for any run over 6Ks. So they're staying in the cupboard, I think.
Fair enough, too. It's a trail company making road shoes.
Yeah.
Stick to trails.
Yeah. That's all right. Now, probably the one that I'm very interested in tonight, mate. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what are we going to choose for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Breakfast, I have the same thing every day for breakfast. So it's going to be peanut butter, jam, and banana on toast.
Uh-huh. Oh, hello. Smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
The extra crunchy Mavers peanut butter that you can get from the supermarket is the best on the market. So
yeah, there's a brand deal for you.
Yeah, get your hands on a jar of that if you like your crunchy peanut butter.
That's a recommendation if ever I've heard one.
Yeah.
That you can, mate, that's influencer material, that is.
Yeah. I eat that before races too, and it's probably not the right thing to have before a race, but
yeah.
It's just what I'm used to. Lunch I'll probably go for like just a basic salmon rice and veggies, nothing too fancy. I think for lunch.
Yeah.
And then chicken parma for dinner.
Oh, chicken parm.
Just the go-to.
Oh.
Can't go wrong.
You're not mixing up the new styles that are out
there. Nah, chips and salad. Get a side of gravy and tomato sauce, and it's the perfect meal.
Where's the gravy going? On the chips or on the parma as well?
I could go on both. Just kind of depends how you feel on the night. I don't pour it on, more use it as a dip more so than just lathering everything with gravy.
Yeah. How big should the parma be? Like, is it sort of like your traditional pub meal where it is the size of the plate, or it's more like a modest size, like something probably closer to the size of your hand?
I'm happy with a modest. If I'm going to have it every night for the rest of my life, I'm probably going to go a modest size. Otherwise, I won't be doing too much running because I'll be double the size what I am now.
I think there's nothing a bit more frightening now that I'm a bit older where I look at a plate of food, particularly a parma, and think, I'm not sure if that's chicken. That could actually have been an ostrich or an emu. That's a large bird.
Hey, last one. I don't think it's on here, Chris, though, but I wanted to get Nathan's take on this before we let him go. Favorite current Aussie athlete, because I know you're a big fan, male and female at the moment.
At the risk of brown nosing, I think I get just a bigger kick out of seeing the podcasters as I do the professional athletes at the AV races and around the traps. But I'll go with Moose, just because there's something special about seeing him out and about at an AV race.
Yes.
Female, I'll go Jen Gregson, just because she's winning everything and looks unbeatable at the moment.
Good choices. I mean, I don't know about Moose's actually, to be honest, but anyway.
Moose, might have to get Moose to listen to this one, Zacho.
I don't know.
He'll love a shout out.
Beneath him, I think. Mate, that was so good to hear your story. Like we talk about on this show, I think every week when we have Run Speed Beat athletes, is obviously we put out results and we put out, there's names that fly around, there's images that go out there, but until we actually dig into the details and we hear about your story, and your story is their story, and your story is just remarkable, and just, you know, from the Run to BB coaches and the community, like, we just think it's inspirational, really, like what you've
thank you very much
achieved and what's ahead. It's exciting. It's really
exciting. Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing what happens over the next few years and knuckling down for some more training and seeing what PBs come of it.
Right, there's more ahead for sure. But hopefully we can get out on the, maybe I have to get over to Elwood Park, and if I run at the 10, I'll have to go up the hill with you. So yes. But take care, mate, and we will catch up soon. Enjoy the recovery from the marathon. I know you're starting to get the K's up again, and no doubt you might be at the wellness run. There's a bit of a rumor there that you may be.
Hopefully half marathon at the wellness run, as long as I'm fit and healthy. So looking forward to it.
I will catch you up there. Cool. Take care, mate. We'll speak soon.
Thanks, Zeka. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the chat.
Nathan. Cheers, mate.
See ya.
Chris, so it's been a big show. Two amazing guests. Inspirational guests, really. I mean, what more can you say? Having learning their story, like just hearing their stories of, you know, starting running and to where they're at now, it's impressive.
No, it's cool. Big thanks to both Nora and Nathan for jumping on. I mean, it's awkward when it's your wife. I know how this story goes, but I think they both have great stories to tell. Nora from her very, very, very humble beginnings to where she's got to is brilliant. And Nathan, I mean, he's literally built up from scratch, very similar to Nora in a sense where, you know, didn't really play a lot of sport, and to, I guess, go through the challenges that he's had with his health, to get through his Hodgkin's lymphoma, be in remission, and then just take running up to progress from 13 Ks in February of last year as being his longest run to getting out and, you know, completing a marathon later that year, and now racing a marathon in 2023 is just an amazing journey. And, you know, as we touched on it, he's only been going for 2 or 3 years. So, who knows, another 2 or 3 years, what is the achievements that he has in front of him. It would be really cool to see.
Yeah, we'll have a watch on both of them, and I reckon it'd be great to have a follow-up down the track and see where they're at. Hey, mate, Nathan mentioned Wellness Run. Came across my desk earlier this week that there's very limited spots left in the 10. I reckon maybe a couple of hundred left. I think it was on Monday, it was about 400 left, but we're recording here on Wednesday, so it's probably, you know, it's selling out. So it's on Sunday, the 3rd of December, the 2xU Wellness Run down at St Kilda. The 5K still got about 1,000 spots left. Half marathon is actually at capacity. There is a waiting list you can jump on, but I think the waiting list is like people, but it's an amazing event. It's just grown from strength to strength, and I think it's just testament to the running community really just growing here and in Australia, in particular Melbourne, embracing this event. So, yeah, good stuff from the guys over at the 2xU Wellness Run.
No, it's good to see them doing well. I think, no, and then like year one started out with a really strong event, and then just to see how the numbers exploded last year, and it's just gone to another level again in 2023. So, 1 month to go, Sunday, the 3rd of December. Yeah, it'll be here very, very shortly.
We'll be, hey, Matt, we'll be back next week. We've got a coach swinging by. So, might have been a coach that ran their debut marathon at Melbourne.
Yes.
Part of 3 weeks, so it'll be about a month down the track. And they'll be, yeah, unpack a bit of that. We'll get a bit of an update on his athletes. And yeah, so looking forward to that chat, mate.
No, that's going to be epic, that one. So lots of stuff that we're going to be able to talk about. The debut marathon and might have sparked the interest in future marathons as well.
I believe so. Good stuff, mate. Well, we'll be back next week.
Looking forward to catching up. Thanks again, mate.
See you, mate.